Form, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and give aid to the church here and abroad in its task of fulfilling the Great Commission. Further, AFA believes this ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on the earth, belongs to God, and AFA's role is that of a trusted manager.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. You know, the enemy of live radio, ladies and gentlemen, is the sneeze. And
are you getting close?
Well, I thought that was coming on again, and it happened to me a couple of days ago. I had to defer to Fred. I said, Fred, answer that question, because I'm going to put my microphone on mute here. But anyway, I think we're okay. I think we're all clear. I think it was a...
It is funny when you feel it coming on.
Right.
And there's a tipping point in there somewhere where you know I can't control it. It's coming like a freight train.
And my wife, Allison, she says that I scare people.
I do the same thing.
Huh? Yeah. Same thing.
Not just little children either.
No.
And grown
these,
people.
You hear these wimpy sneezes from people, and you go, that's not even a sneeze. Don't even, you know what I'm saying? Here's a sneeze.
And I never have understood people who are able to smother that sneeze.
No.
And I wonder what kind of internal damage they're doing.
Well, your eyeballs will pop out
that,
if you
That energy's got to go somewhere.
All right, so... back to the serious news desk we go here on today's issues on American Family Radio. Okay, that was Wesley sneezing.
You can't really fake a sneeze.
No, you can't. Ed's, welcome back.
Hey, thank you.
Had a little back issue.
Back
in the game.
I'm coming apart at the seams.
You were sharing in devotion this morning.
Yeah.
You're in your mid-60s and things start breaking down.
Okay, I wish I was in my mid-60s, Tim. I'll be 67 next month in August.
67.
No, yeah, I've got to have cataract surgery. And
In all seriousness, we ask people to pray for you because that's anytime they mess with your eyes, you're going,
hang on.
Yeah, absolutely.
But cataract's pretty routine for, but unless it's your eyes.
Yes.
Right.
Of course, I've never had it before.
Okay.
No one person who really had some bad side effects, but everyone else says, man, it's a breeze, and it's going to be it'll be weird. You'll be able to see.
Yeah.
Without glasses or contacts.
Let me introduce the rest of the distinguished panel. Wesley Wildman, good morning, Wesley.
Hey, good morning.
And Fred Jackson. Fred, you were going to say?
Funny story on cataract surgery. My oldest daughter worked at a clinic for a while many years ago, and some older guys, older guys have that problem.
Yeah.
But they would come in, and of course, the ladies who were kind of doing the workup to everything, they would be talking to these older gentlemen, and some of them would say, "Yeah, I'm here for my cataract surgery."
Because it's the doctor's, gravy. Bone.
Yeah, they had to kind of suppress a smile, you know, but they were there for a cataract surgery.
Did they not know how to pronounce it, or were they joking about the doctors about to buy Cadillac off the money I'm about to spend?
Somewhere along the way, Cadillac got in that brain, and that's the way it was coming out.
Yeah.
So, it's the same place I'm going.
Yes.
Friday.
Yes.
I've got to try to remember to use that line. Of course, I'm not telling my wife in advance that I'm going to joke with the ladies up front, because she's always going, "No, please don't. Nobody thinks you're funny." Because I joke around with cashiers and waitresses.
It's a hit or miss when you joke around with cashiers, because you don't know what kind of day they're having. You don't know what kind of person they are. Like, are they find humor or they're serious? So if you bust a couple times, your wife, I can see her saying, "Listen,
just order,
just order."
It doesn't stop me if I've thrown a few air balls, but it matters to my wife. I don't want to hear it.
You got to tell her, look, this person in front of me that I'm joking with doesn't. She didn't see the last air ball.
Yes.
For her, this is the first
one.
That's
right.
Listen, I didn't tell people what day it was.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
So a lot of people wondering, Tim, what day is it? You always
tell
me.
And what
time? Today is Wednesday, July the 30th, 2025.
10:09 a.m.
It's 10:09 Central Time.
Central Time.
Central Time, 10:00.
Tomorrow's my son's birthday.
Yeah, is that right?
I remembered that.
July 31st?
July 31st.
Okay, were you going to take him out to dinner? Or
we're going over. We're going over to his house.
Oh, for him to grill out
for him to grill
for
out.
His birthday.
No, we're having pizza.
Okay.
We're having pizza on his birthday.
You're probably paying
to
for
Thursday.
That.
It's going to be
him
a great
to clean
day.
Up.
It's going to be a great day.
This is a program, radio program. But we have a live audience. They're listening
yes,
in.
Yes, and we have news to get to.
Okay. That's right. They don't
and
care. About.
On a serious note, Fred, there's a had tsunami warnings yesterday.
Oh yeah. Well, what we had was a huge earthquake. Some people are calling it one of the strongest earthquakes in history off the Russian East Coast early this morning, Russian time, 8.8. Now, you know, if you live along the West Coast in particular, you get a shaker, 2.0, that sort of thing. Nobody kind of takes it too seriously. And we won't go into the details of the Richter scale, but it grows dramatically. Like 8.8 is a long way from 2.2, where we're talking strength of these things. And it set off all kinds of tsunami warnings all the way down to Hawaii and along the west coast, the California coastline. Japan in particular, as far as a tsunami height goes, on the northern end of Japan, the height of the wave got up to 13 feet there, not too heavily populated. And also we're told in along the coast of San Francisco, the waves got as high as 2 to 5 feet early this morning. They've removed all the warnings now, and even the advisories, they backed off from that. The good thing in this, there are no reports of deaths anywhere at all. So, you know, the Bible talks about the earth groaning.
Yeah.
This was a big groan.
Right.
But, you know, the Pacific Rim earthquakes, my wife was shown, she has an app and shows earthquakes, recent earthquakes, all around that rim. You go all the way down to Japan, you go up through Russia, across Alaska and down the California coastline. There are shakers all the time. We just don't hear about them.
Right.
But
this doesn't impact people.
Yes.
Yeah.
This was 8.8. You move an 8.8 into 25, 30 miles off the coast of California.
Oh, yeah.
You got a real problem.
You got real destruction, loss of life.
Yeah.
Don't they call that in the Pacific the Ring of Fire?
Yeah, they do.
Because there are a lot of active volcanoes, which mm-hmm. means a lot of kind of chaotic stuff going on under the surface.
And oh, yeah. I lived on the West Coast, British Columbia, for about 10 years, and they practice you know, with kids in school, what to do if there's an earthquake.
Well, like here, much of the Southeast for and the Midwest and central part of the Central Plains for tornadoes.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Where I lived was about the suburb of Vancouver was about 2 feet below sea level. And what they warned us about was something called liquefaction.
Mm.
In other words, water would come up from your soil in your front yard.
Oof.
And that you need to be thinking about these things. The other things, we talked about earthquakes before.
Hold on.
Hold on.
You need an explanation on that one?
You just glossed over that one there.
Okay.
This sounds like a science fiction movie. Your what? Your water comes up from
We're below sea level in Richmond. That's a suburb. The water comes up out of the ground. It just spills up.
Spills up?
Yes.
So you don't have to. There are times you don't even have to water your yard.
Well, this is earthquakes.
It waters itself.
For earthquakes. Okay.
For earthquakes.
We can say the people that put in the water
system,
they're upset about this.
The sprinkler system.
Because they don't have.
It's a natural sprinkler system. Okay, that just sounded crazy. I've never heard that before.
And I've never heard of it either. And so would anything happen? Does it didn't turn your ground into quicksand or anything? Does it? Or
fortunately, we didn't experience it, so I'm not sure. But it's not a good condition.
Yeah.
It's not a good
thing. Wow.
You know,
yeah.
And people just, you know, as I was going to say, the thing with earthquake, there's no warning.
Right.
There's you know, you don't, like hurricanes, you see coming.
Or tornadoes,
you see that coming.
So when is this expected to hit the coast?
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's done.
It's done.
I think it happened like 15 to 24 hours ago, something like
early morning Wednesday Russian time.
That's when the earthquake happened.
Okay.
Right.
Off the coast of Russia. Sometimes people forget how far Russia extends. I mean, it goes from Korea, north of Korea, the Korean Peninsula, all the way over to, you know, the border of, well, Ukraine.
Europe, yeah.
and places in Europe. So it goes from Asia to Europe. And but this earthquake measured at 8.8 on the Richter scale, as you say, Fred, had that earthquake hit anywhere near a major metropolitan area, or, you know, it would bring down the city of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
If something
you're
like
talking
that, even with all their earthquake.
That'd be catastrophic.
Right.
Yeah.
If something like that happened in a.
It was much stronger than the one in San Francisco. Remember that back?
That was just like a 6-point something. Wasn't
it? And overpasses collapsed.
Right.
And the whole thing.
Well, listen, I don't want to get us into something I cannot talk a lot about, but the Bible does talk about in the end times that earthquakes and volcanoes, and does it mention volcanoes in particular?
I think it does, maybe in Luke.
Anyway, crazy weather
and
natural disasters.
Mm-hmm.
Will increase is what I'm going to say. Now, like I said, I don't want to get into that right now. We can maybe do that on another show. But when I heard about this strength of this earthquake,
mm-hmm.
I immediately thought about the Bible warning about this. Now, some people would say, "Well, that's happened in the past." Well, maybe so. But I'm just saying,
it's still true though.
It still gets your attention when you. And 8.8 is unheard of.
Yep, right? That's right.
No volcanoes directly mentioned in Luke, but it does talk about earthquakes and natural disasters,
right.
Plagues and famines.
Right, right.
And before we move on from this topic, I do have a very, very serious question for Ed, but I don't want to mess up.
I'm ready, man.
I just want to say I'm here and available.
You,
if Ed can't answer it, look my way.
Well, okay? It's very specific because Ed served in the previously known the journal department.
Yeah.
Now the stand department.
Magazine.
Magazine. And you did writing and editing and all that. Why on planet Earth do we have letters and words that are silent? Like tsunami. Like, there's a T at the beginning of this.
I'm with you on that
so
one.
So why?
Can you give me
a decent explanation.
Tsunami?
Make something up that sounds good.
How is tsunami spelled?
It's
T-S-U-N-A-M, tsunami, I.
Okay. And the question Wesley, poses is why...
Letters
when they're silent.
Well, because the English language is actually a hodgepodge of a number of different languages coming from the old world.
Yeah.
So in other words, the English language coming from England. It's combinations of German and Dutch and the Vikings who controlled England for a long time. French words crept in there after the Normandy invasion, the invasion of the Normans, I should say, in 1066. Anglo-Saxons. So a lot of those words and those languages melded together and oftentimes produced, you know, consonant combinations that don't seem to have a logical explanation. But it's because but now that sounded pretty good, didn't
that.
It? I threw in Anglo-Saxons and consonants.
Yeah. And then you ended up after 2 minutes of saying, I don't know.
He said, just take a shot.
Yes.
And I did. That was my best shot.
Tsunami starts with a T. I just want to emphasize that one more time.
Yes.
I did study French, the French language, for two semesters, I think,
high
school. Yeah. So I said studied. But in learning about French and then Spanish and other kinds of languages, you people who know multiple languages often say the English language is the hardest one.
Yeah.
Because of the a lot of times the multiple use of words. And I was talking to my wife last night or the night before. The word shower, for example.
Yeah.
Okay. She had been to a wedding shower.
Yeah.
On Sunday afternoon.
Right.
You heard of these things?
Yes.
It's where women get together and bring gifts. And
I'm going to let you finish this story, and then I'm going to complain about showers.
But anyway, they do for about two. I've never been to one. Maybe I've been to one, but then I stayed for 10 minutes. And
it's not for men.
It's not for men. It's women.
They're literally not invited, though.
Yeah, really. They don't want men. If you go into a shower, they look at you funny. They're like, what are you doing here?
Right.
So anyway, so we got the word shower for that. Then we got the word shower, also used for like a rain shower.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Shower is showering out. It's rain shower. And then you've got your shower in your restroom, your bathroom at home, right?
Yes.
Shower. So there you got just three.
And the first four letters of it is the word show.
Right.
You want to go to the show?
The show, yeah. I could see how somebody would like give up on learning the English language. I thought you said shower.
Yes.
I do. I'm looking outside. There's no shower. No, I'm talking about the wedding shower.
Yeah. You mean they take a shower?
But you do mean showering somebody with gifts. So there is a translation.
This is my fault. I take responsibility.
You did start this, Wesley.
And let me just say my response to the shower question, yes. Men are not usually invited to wedding showers, but I had to put a stop to a troubling trend.
Yes.
On baby showers.
Okay.
Baby showers, a lot of that was women too. And then I started getting invited to all kinds of baby showers.
Baby showers.
Yes. And I told my wife, I said, why am I going to this thing? Well, because you got invited. And they started trying to invite men to baby showers. And at some point I said,
unless
it's for my own grandkids.
I think you got to take a stand.
I said, I'm not going to this.
Right.
Men do not belong at showers any kind.
Right. Anyway, you're right. Shower.
I let her have it. Found out who the boss was.
I could keep this going, but we got stuff to get to.
Yeah, we need to reel this in. This is Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. Next story, Fred.
So, Tim, tout parle français.
The French thing?
Très bien.
The French thing.
Yeah.
Canadian
thing. I went on this.
Do you know, can you speak fluent French?
Oui, je parle français, mais un peu seulement.
Oh, just a little bit, huh?
Okay, I wondered how far the French went north into Canada. I know Quebec is, the French is the official language, right?
Quebec is the official language. New Brunswick, believe it or not, is the only official province that is bilingual.
Oh,
that's the official.
But your home of Nova Scotia is English.
Mostly. Not all.
Because, French influence?
Because of the Acadians?
We have the Acadians, both in New Brunswick and Nova Scotia. And a whole bunch of them came to some state in...
Yes, where they,
Louisiana.
They eat strange foods.
Yes.
Yeah, the Cajun people came from Canada.
Yeah.
They kicked them out.
Well, they got out of there because those English.
Well, they go, surely there's got to be somewhere warmer in this world. But who's with me? And then they boarded a ship and they went to the land of alligators.
Yes.
And gumbo.
Yeah.
All right. So the tsunami story from the earthquake is basically over.
Yes. Okay. Praise the Lord for that.
Yeah. Amen. Next story.
Yeah. All right. This may shock you, but President Donald Trump is back in the news this morning.
No.
Yeah. and kind of combined with the Epstein story. President Trump was talking a lot about the Epstein story, both on his visit in Scotland and coming home on Air Force One yesterday. And he offered some new details as to why he and Epstein didn't get along. He accuses Epstein of stealing some of the people who worked for Donald Trump in the spa at Mar-a-Lago. All right.
That's happened to me before, so I can identify with that.
Yeah.
How he feels. But go ahead.
But anyway, so what we're going to play for you is a little bit of the what we call the news scrum that he had on Air Force One, and then a little bit from a news conference in Scotland where he added a few more details. It's cut number one.
You're saying that Jeffrey Epstein coached two of your staffers. Who were they?
I don't want to say any number. You're talking about many years ago. But, yeah, he took people, And because he took people, I said, don't do it anymore. You know, they work for me. And he took, beyond that, he took some others. And once he did that, that was the end of him.
Were some of the workers that were taken from you, were some of them young women?
The answer is yes, they were.
Yes, they were young women?
What did they do?
In the spa.
In the spa?
Yeah, people that work in the spa. I have a great spa, one of the best spas in the world at Mar-a-Lago.
Mr. President, did one of those stolen, persons, that include Virginia Jeffrey?
I think she worked at the spa. I think so. I think that was one of the people. Yeah. He stole her. And by the way, I never went to the island, and Bill Clinton went there supposedly 28 times. I never went to the island, but Larry Summers, I hear, went there. He was the head of Harvard. And many other people that are very big people, nobody ever talks about them. I never had the privilege of going to his island. And I did turn it down, but a lot of people in Palm Beach were invited to his island. In one of my very good moments, I turned it down. I didn't want to go to his island.
Where do you start with that? Sometimes it's better just to
not say anything. Not, right? Yeah.
Bless his heart. Yes. President Trump just to his credit, he's very accessible as president of the United States, and he doesn't shy away from answering questions
or doing interviews.
And
which is why you get sometimes those kind of conversations or statements.
Shoot from the hip. Yeah. Shoot from the hip, and as
y'all. Yeah, well, it's better than being in the basement.
I agree.
Yes.
No, I agree. At least you know where what the guy's thinking.
Yeah,
that's right. Where he stands.
But even if he changes his mind here in a little bit.
Yeah, that's how he is. Yeah. A couple things there. This Jeffrey Epstein story, okay, based on everything I know and hearing about all this, can I just share from my heart?
Share from your heart.
I want to share from my heart.
This is absolutely.
This is about President Trump and his relationship with this fella.
Shower us.
Epstein. I'll share.
Shower us with your thoughts.
I'll share.
Hey, we do got it. While we're on Trump, we do got to get to his tariff stuff too before we move on.
Yeah, but I've got to share from my heart, Wesley.
Okay. So I'm looking at the clock going.
Well, we can come back after the break and I can
get more.
We do have a guest after the break, but we can come back to tariffs.
All right. We can come back to tariffs or if I'm not finished sharing my heart.
Well, that's right.
More heart.
So go for it.
Okay. So, in all seriousness, I think what you have here, if President Trump had done something illegal or wrong that was criminal, potentially with Jeffrey Epstein, the pedophile who committed suicide. I put that in quotations because we don't know exactly what happened to him. But he was convicted of
sex trafficking.
So if President Trump, then Donald Trump, the New York real estate tycoon, and Jeffrey Epstein. They were New York socialites, okay? Mm. And as are people for the ages in New York City who are New York socialites. They're yesteryear, today, and there'll be some tomorrow. You know, that's just how this city, that city works. It's basically the most famous city in the world where a lot of famous people live there.
Right.
And they go to parties. They interact. All that. The same thing with Sean Diddy. What was his name? What's his name?
P. Diddy.
You know, the guy who's been also convicted. Okay, well, a lot of celebrities hung out with him, too. But that didn't mean they're involved in his illegal or unethical or immoral.
Well, the Weinstein fellow.
Yeah, a lot of people hung out with him at parties. So what I'm saying is I think President Trump was friends of his. Obviously, they were friends. At one time, Donald Trump called Jeffrey Epstein a great guy who hangs around a lot of young women, is what he said. So probably rumors swirled.
Right.
But President Trump never went to the island where a lot of this stuff went on.
But he said Bill Clinton did 28 times. He knew a number.
Yeah. So evidently, Trump does know the Epstein files.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's spouting off things.
Names of people.
Names of people. To the island.
Yes. But I would say, from what all you can determine, Trump doesn't want to. Trump probably wishes this would just go away, because he was friends with Jeffrey Epstein.
Right.
But there's no evidence that he ever did anything illegal, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
sure,
I think
sure,
this is. Hopefully, we can get to the end of this pretty soon. We'll be back momentarily.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. The area of Tabgha, located between Capernaum and Magdala on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, is a very historic area. For it was here, according to tradition, where Jesus fed the 5,000 men plus additional women and children. Here also he fed the disciples following his resurrection. Tabgha gets its name from the corruption of a Greek word which means seven springs. At Tabgha in 1932, the ruins of an ancient church were discovered. Today, another structure, known as the Church of the Multiplication, stands over the ruins. The floor of that ancient church, dating at least back to the 4th century, contains mosaics which are renowned throughout the world for their beauty and realism. They depict the water birds and flowers of the area and symbols of the 5 loaves and 2 fish of the miracle. This miracle of Jesus, the feeding of the 5,000, was considered an impressive event by the early church. Incidentally, it is the only miracle mentioned in all 4 Gospels in the New Testament. It is John who tells us of the young boy which Andrew brought to Christ, and how Christ used the lad's 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed the multitude. After the feeding, each disciple filled his basket with the food that was left over. Near the Church of the Multiplication is the Church of the Primacy. It's located on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's built on the spot where tradition says Jesus is supposed to have fed Peter and the 6 other disciples after a night of fruitless fishing. The structure is built over a rock, which today is known as the Table of Christ. Tradition says it is the rock used by Jesus to eat the morning meal of fish with his followers. It was here that Jesus gave to Peter the 3-fold repetition symbolic of a legal transfer. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Jesus was giving the responsibility of his church to Peter and the others. The Church of the Primacy is a lovely little structure. Waves from the Sea of Galilee splash beneath it. The area around it is lovely and peaceful, a probable contrast from the biblical days when this area was teeming with people and commerce. 2 great truths come out of the events which came to pass in this area. In the case of the multiplication of the loaves and fish, the truth is that little, when given to him who is the Creator, can be transformed into a lot. The young boy willing to share the lunch which his mother packed for him found this to be true. The other truth concerns the disciples. They discovered that Jesus can be completely trusted. Following his directions, despite having caught nothing during an entire night of fishing, they cast where he told them and caught 153 fish. We must never forget that they cast their nets in sheer faith. As one stands here in this area, his thoughts are varied. But one wish stands out, that these 2 great truths can perhaps come alive again in us even today.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Matthew 19:14.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Anyway, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. Just to wrap this story up, hopefully we're about through hearing Jeffrey Epstein's name. How long has the guy been dead? Like 3 years or something?
Three, 4 years, yeah.
I don't remember.
I think it's 2.
But The people, I guess.
When he looked that up.
A lot of President Trump's most vocal supporters.
Wow, he died in 2019.
Yeah.
Oh, right, wow.
6 years ago?
6 years ago, August 10th, just about 6 years.
You start having
tsunamis, time flies. You notice notice the correlation?
Yeah, absolutely.
So he missed COVID.
Boy, Wesley,
that's the least of his worries.
That was probably an inappropriate joke, but it was funny to an extent. But
It wasn't just funny to an extent. Yeah, that was funny.
Okay. He missed COVID.
Missed COVID.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I can't say I'm really sorry.
Yeah, because
he wishes he could have faced COVID.
Let me say this. I'm sorry for those that I offended.
Right. Well, the way you do it in today's modern America, you say, I'm sorry if you were offended.
Yeah, yes.
Apologize for offending people.
No, you
people.
Don't. You say, I'm
sorry.
When
I was pastoring, I used to tell people all the time, don't be ashamed. Right. If you offended someone, don't take it back.
Right. That's right.
I'm sorry if you, were offended by my offensive, which I'm not going to apologize for directly. That's what that
means. That's exactly right.
Left-wing media, they're salivating now. They're going with this Jeffrey Epstein, Donald Trump connection, hoping to milk that as much as they can. And Trump didn't help himself yesterday, saying he missed the privilege of going to the island. Did you see this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
when you need to keep your gums.
I'm kind of
from flapping.
Yeah. that's the downside of shooting from the hip and being so accessible to the media. You are going to just express things without maybe having the opportunity to think through.
Right.
Maybe I should choose a better word.
Maybe
no privilege of going to the island. We talked about this in our story meeting, and Wesley said sometimes the president is sarcastic, and that could have been what he was doing, but. You don't say. I had the privilege of meeting the head of the mafia gang boss in my city.
You don't say that.
Had lunch with him.
You don't say that.
Yeah,
okay, and that's something he should not have said.
But fortunately, the left wing media is not making a big
fit
on Trump's comments.
But the other part about it is here a lot of the MAGA voices, leading voices, they're upset that. The Epstein files, such that they are, haven't been released to the public, and so maybe that's subsiding the anger on that side. You think maybe?
No, I don't see that on
you
social
know some
media.
People that are
I
in
see
this
a
crowd?
Lot of, like, if you guys
don't
if,
you have some family members who would qualify as in this group of people of MAGA influence? Maybe
yes, I do. I have some people that I know well.
Right. Have they calmed down on
no.
this?
No,
they haven't.
No, here's how with a lot of MAGA people.
Right.
I don't know if you saw this story about the comet that's in the solar system.
Yes.
And is expected to pass by, Venus and Mars and Earth in December. Hmm. And there's a couple of people saying this could be a UFO probe. Okay. The reason I say that is because in the comments underneath, every other one is. I don't believe it. This is just a distraction from the Epstein list. and I'm just going, really? Every story, this is a distraction. Release the list. So,
all right, just to review, there are a lot of people who thought the Jeffrey Epstein story was going to be a reveal when President Trump got into office as they were going to pull back the curtains on the shadow government.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last couple of decades, because all the influential people of all political stripes from around the world were under Jeffrey Epstein's blackmail Rolodex. Am I right?
That is part of the conspiracy theory.
And basically, President Trump is saying there is no, and Pam Bondi, the Attorney General, they're saying there is no
no proof of that,
and
there's no list.
No list.
And listen, I used to. Readily mock conspiracy theories until they all started becoming true. You know, it's like with those big gender reveal things where people blow up a balloon or something and you get that puff of blue or pink. That's what's happening. All these conspiracy theories, you go, boom, oh, that one's real?
Yeah.
Oh, boom, that one's real too. And so now I don't make fun of it. I just go, we'll have to wait and see. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Tim, Fred, Wesley, and Ed. Ed, our guest is whom?
Yes, we want to welcome Bruno Borges, who's director and co-founder of the Institute of Biblical Sexuality. Now, Bruno comes highly recommended from American Family Studios' own M.D. Perkins. He's produced some of our top films, written a great book on the homosexual theology that is infecting a lot of churches. He really likes Bruno, and that's where we kind of got this recommendation. And this is a big announcement of something that Bruno is kicking off. So, Bruno, hopefully I pronounced your name correctly. We want to welcome you to Today's Issues.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for having me. And yes, you did pronounce it correctly.
Okay. All right. We were going to say that we had on the line Bruno Mars, because that'll get a lot of attention. But Bruno, tell us, there's a great need in our culture, in Western culture as a whole, but especially in our culture, and for the sake of the church, to start doing research and correcting some of the ideological heresies, I'll just call them that, about human sexuality, and then produce help for people who want to do biblically based counseling on some of these issues. So please let us know, what is this big announcement?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, I'm excited to join you, gentlemen. Through the Institute of Biblical Sexuality, we have launched the first ever certification in biblical sexuality ministry. So just to give you a little bit of a history, the Institute is a ministry of Living Hope Ministries. Living Hope has journeyed and discipled men and women from all across the globe who have struggled with all kinds of sexual issues and distortions. I have had the privilege of serving with Living Hope as their men's minister for the past 10 years and been involved for the past 16. And all these years, as we've gotten to walk and journey with people, we've seen a lot of gaps within the church and the difficulties that the church has had to respond to all of the upcoming nuances related to sexuality. So the Lord started to tug at our hearts and give us a new direction on how we needed to equip the church with the experiences we've had journeying with people all these years on how to respond to sexuality. So in 2021, we launched the Institute of Biblical Sexuality, and whose mission is to encourage and equip the church to respond both biblically and redemptively to sexuality. And through that, we put together a phenomenal global and national advisory board who helped us put together this first ever certification program that truly equips pastors, leaders, Christians, anyone within the local church or Christ-centered organizations who feel a tug in their hearts or a calling to lead their church on how to respond biblically, really being that, as we call it, first responder in the church. And in connection with the Institute, where we have tons of resources that we have vetted to be theologically sound, as well as robust with academic research, as well as great methodology. We're truly looking to put as many people within the church. Well, our dream is for every church to have a certified biblical sexuality minister to be able to lead their churches on how to respond biblically and redemptively to sexuality.
Hey, this is Wesley here. I've looked into your ministry. I'm grateful for what you're doing. I'm thankful for there being someone out there who's emphasizing or taking the time to focus on this issue at hand, at training pastors on this. But am I also understanding that this is also for lay people as well, or is this primarily for pastors or for a pastoral person on staff?
No, this is also for lay leaders, lay people in the church, anyone, like I said, who feels a calling to respond to these issues somehow.
Okay, well, wonderful. Now, what's the website again, and then how can people find out more about what y'all are doing. The reason reason we really wanted to have you on is because there's not many people, or they're not people, but there's not many places out there where on this particular issue you can get trained or find ways to respond to this issue in your local community. And so you can, but it's usually biblical. And so for this to be biblically based, we wanted to have you on. So how can people find out more about this?
Correct. They can visit us at biblicalsexuality.net/certification to learn all about our certification program.
So it's a certification program.
Correct.
And they have resources for...
And Michael Perkins was on one of the first ones they did.
Our own Michael Perkins. Let me ask you this, and then Fred, I know Fred has a question. So you're talking about training people to counsel.
That's right.
Especially maybe somebody on a church staff in the areas of sexual addiction, same-sex attraction, gender identity struggles.
That's right.
Sexual trauma.
Trauma, marital conflict, and more. Is that what this is? What this is training for?
So through our program, yes, they do get experience on how to do initial counseling with anyone in the church who seeks help for any areas related to sexuality.
Okay.
And these are not just LGBTQ issues. These, as you mentioned, marital issues, people struggling with their singleness or pornography and all kinds of things. Now, the goal here is not necessarily for churches to start programs within their churches. It's to have someone who is highly trained. I mean, this is a two-year program. It's almost like a master's program. There's a capstone project that they have to do. And it's someone who's highly trained in your church who is now going to sum up with the leadership of the church on how to respond to these issues. Because one of the biggest things that that we've seen all these years is that so many times people who are struggling, when they seek help, the church has really struggled to respond biblically and redemptively. Yep. Or they just don't know the resources that are good to use. So being in partnership and certified through the Institute, we're there to walk alongside them and provide the resources and continual education. And the reason why we wanted to go with a certification program is, you know, we've reached a point in our culture with sexual issues that it's not enough anymore for people to just know the information. They have to know how to apply it. And that's what this program is about. And that's why it takes 2 years to go through it.
All right.
They get a lot of hands-on, a lot of practical experience in order to be able to foreshadow situations that may happen in their churches, as well as just respond to currently existing ones.
Good talking to Bruno Borges. Get your last name right, Bruno?
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And are you the director?
Yes, I am the director and co-founder of the Institute.
Okay, but this Rooted Counseling, the Center for Relational and Sexual Wholeness, that's a new initiative by your institute.
We just launched Rooted Counseling. Okay. So Rooted Counseling, it is a counseling center that focuses primarily on relational and sexual wholeness.
Yeah.
And the reason why we launched Rooted is because all these years, both through Living Hope and the Institute, working with people, one of the biggest questions we have gotten is, how do I find a biblically sound counselor who won't affirm feelings that I have that are incongruent with Scripture? And we found that it's become harder and harder to find even counselors who call themselves Christians to abide to the truth, to Scripture. And we also found that there were Christian counselors who had a calling, but were afraid to do the right thing because they just didn't have the support that they needed or the training to continue to do what God has called them to do. So the Lord called us to also initiate and launch Rooted Counseling with counselors who we get to walk with and provide additional professional development on how to first and foremost stay truth to scripture, regardless of what licensing policy says. Right. And we back them up 100% in order to really help people find the healing that only comes through Jesus Christ, but with the support of clinical science.
What is your website for more information?
BiblicalSexuality.net.
BiblicalSexuality.net. Okay. Thank you, Bruno, and appreciate your work, and wish you the best, and look forward to keeping up with what you're accomplishing there.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. Have a great day.
Okay, thank you.
Well, these are brave people, courageous yes. people, because they have their work cut out, mm-hmm. because the mental health profession in this country, talking about the American Psychiatric Society, American Psychological, American Medical Association, all of them, and politicians, especially in blue states, they are really trying to crack down on anyone. Well, Fred, like in Canada, anyone who counsels people in a biblical way about human sexuality. So kudos to Bruno and the others.
They're American-based, right?
Yes.
He's in the U.S., because I don't even know if you could get away with this in Canada now.
Probably not.
Well, don't we have a story from Canada on? We have the pastor audio from this morning. Or is that Steve's story?
I think that's
Steve's
story.
Okay. Yeah.
But anyway.
Steve's listening probably right now. He'll bring it in.
He'll be in.
Yes.
Were you going to mention anything else about this?
No, sir.
Okay, I just wanted to say to Ed's point, God bless all those people who are counselors, mm-hmm. who are doing Christian counseling.
Yes.
And that means people who are at churches, on staff, and also just professional Christian counselors. And I know a lot of people just do it as friends of people, but they feel unqualified. But anyway, for this in all these areas here.
Looks like they're in Arlington, Texas.
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, we should note that in this country, there are legal threats now against certain jurisdictions about counseling a homosexual about getting out of that lifestyle.
Yes, yes. Right.
It's called, there are laws now against
what
they're calling conversion therapy.
Right.
So we need to note that in this country that celebrates a First Amendment freedom, there are people who are being fined for counseling people about their homosexual lifestyle.
And that's even when a homosexual comes to the counselor.
Solicits the counselor.
And says, I want some help with this because I'm not sure I should be doing this. These counselors can still get in trouble.
Yes.
Let me ask you real quickly, Ed, and then we can move on here. What does the Bible say about what's acceptable and unacceptable when it comes to human sexuality?
Well, the Bible, of course, all those issues start with, this is what Jesus started with when he was asked about divorce, for example. You go back to creation. So Genesis 1 and 2, God created us male and female in the image of God, male and female. He made them so that human sexuality is based on that model, because reproduction is a male-female endeavor. Okay.
And you look at the human anatomy.
Yes.
It's pretty obvious.
It's pretty obvious. And so marriage flows out of that reality, because one man and one woman, that's what creates a baby. Now, I'm not saying that sex isn't meant to be pleasurable. Obviously, it is, but it is for a husband and wife to give pleasure to one another. But anytime you move outside of that model, so unmarried people having sex, heterosexual, homosexual, doesn't matter. A man or a woman who's married having sex with some other than their spouse, that is sin. And the Bible is clear about that. Now, the struggles people may have, that's what Bruno and the team that they're getting together, and some other ministries who do that, there are people, for whatever the reason, put that on a different box, on a different shelf, because we're not discussing that right now, but they struggle with where their romantic feelings and their desires go. And Christians are at this point free under the First Amendment to counsel them about what God wants for them. But we have to also be compassionate for the people who are struggling with that. Because I always say this, the normal way human sexuality is supposed to develop is that as you get older, you are attracted to members of the opposite sex. Okay. And for some small fraction of our population, when they get to that point, they don't have those feelings for the opposite sex. They have those feelings for the same sex. That must be a terrible thing to go through. But there is hope that whatever the cause was, God can help heal that person and heal their brokenness. And we are starting to get stories of people who have, well, for decades and decades, come out of homosexuality, but also the transgender confusion that is going on. And our film, In His Image, produced by American Family Studios, inhisimage.movie. You can go watch that for free. That's why we put out that very fine documentary.
Yeah, and here's where the conflict comes in. Of course, we talk about it on issues sometimes here on this program and others on American Family Radio. This is why we're labeled a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center on this particular issue and maybe a couple of others. But they're going to tell you, the left-wingers are going to tell you, and even some, quote, Christians are going to tell you, you're wrong by trying to counsel people to deny their identity.
Right.
So they are obviously homosexual, gay, lesbian, by their not by their choice, mm-hmm. but by their DNA, by how God made them.
Yes.
And for you to lay guilt on them mm-hmm. by saying their actions are sinful, you're a hater. You're going to lead them to committing suicide and
a
miserable life because you're trying to heap guilt on them.
And that's a powerful argument. Yes. And the church has struggled to respond to that.
How do we? Yeah,
because we don't. Christians should be the most compassionate people around. And a lot of times, these are people that we know. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a cousin. It's an uncle.
Known him for years.
Yeah, known him for years, and they're good people.
And they came out as gay.
And they came out,
right.
And now you're the one at Thanksgiving going, I'm sorry, but that's a sin. Well, that has forced a lot of Christians to keep their mouths shut and not get into it. Mm-hmm. And I think Bruno and the others here with the Institute of Biblical Sexuality and the broader umbrella organization of Living Hope Ministries, they're trying to help people come to grips with their struggles and their brokenness and find peace in Christ. But it is an uphill slog because the whole of American culture and in the West is just set to mock and ridicule and punish you if you come out for biblical sexuality.
It's the same thing with the transgender issue today,
right.
Now they're going to tell you, they being the people on the left and a lot of Christians, they're going to tell you, I say Christians under the Christian label, they're going to tell you the same thing today they told you about LG back in the day. Now they're going to say, this person identifies, they may be a biological male, but they have feelings that they're a female.
Right.
And they can't deny that or suppress those feelings. They're very real. So that must be who they are meant to be.
Yes.
Despite the fact that they are in a male body. So you, Christians, need to affirm them and support them and, love them, not to shower them
yep.
with judgment that they're acting immorally.
Yeah.
That's what we get all the time, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And what we've learned over what our audience has learned in today's issues over the years is that our answer to that is that we're just consistent with all the other issues. So we wouldn't take that same strategy. We wouldn't allow that same argument to be made the case for adultery.
Right.
Sorry.
Right. Well,
case.
They beat us over the head with it. And like Ed said, it's a tough issue to have a rational conversation about.
Right.
But we must stand on what the Bible says.
Yeah. Amen.
And as Ed said earlier, the Bible has strict limitations on what human sexual behavior is allowed by God, and which are called sin. And we can't ever shy away from that.
Right.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.